title of this message is Ending the Silence of God. Ending the Silence of God. Isaiah 9:6 says this. We read it last week for a Christmas service. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, the first title. Wonderful literally means miraculous. This child, this son given to us is our miraculous counselor. Jesus' guidance is not natural, it's supernatural. His counsel is in words of life flowing from his spirit and his word. He said, "My words are spirit and they are life." The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and he wields the sword of truth, which is the word of God. Notice that these four mighty names of the Son of God, the first is Wonderful Counselor. We must first hear the voice of his counsel to know him as Mighty God. We must first understand him as Mighty Counselor to hear his voice, to know him as Everlasting Father, and to know him as Prince of Peace. Too many Christians, Bible-believing Christians, have believed the lie that God is both deaf and mute. You say, why would you say that? How could Christians think God is deaf and mute? Because when you don't pray, you don't believe God hears. And when you don't listen, you don't believe that God speaks. And so your actions show that you think God is deaf and mute. They sadly agree with their adversary, Satan, with the wicked lie that God doesn't hear or speak today. We're about to enter into a new year, 2024, and it is God's will that his people are equipped for what is coming. Don't you want to be ready? Don't you want to be prepared by God? There's going to be surprises, guys, in the next year. There's going to be shocks. There's going to be frightening things. Don't you want to be ready? I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. He wants you to be able to know his voice. We need to remove the obstacles that will keep us from hearing him. It's time to end the silence of God. If God has been silent in your life, today is the day, the beginning of the time, to end the silence of God in your life. God wants to speak to you. The period between the Testaments, the Old and the New, is often called the silent years. The time from the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, to Jesus' birth was about 400 years. There was no prophetic voice from heaven until John the Baptist. Throughout periods of history, going back into the Old Testament, you'll see that there have been other periods of silence from God. God doesn't want to be silent. He wants to speak. He's the God that speaks. He's the God that communicates his will, his heart, his mind. But he needs a receptor. He needs a person who can hear him, who can believe him, who will be like a radio receiver, like an antenna saying, "God, I'm here. I'm listening. Would you speak to me?" Imagine 400 years where God was not speaking prophetically. In these times of silence from God, these were not famines of a lack of rain or a drought of rain, but they were famines of hearing the voice of God. Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Amos said, there's going to be a famine of hearing God's word. And God's word, Isaiah said, is like water and that comes down from heaven in the form of rain and snow. And it comes down to the earth and it waters the earth. And it doesn't return void. It produces fruit. It produces a crop. God's word doesn't return void. And Amos said there's a time coming when there's going to be a famine of the word of God. That famine ended when the word of God broke through the brass heavens and flooded the heart of John the Baptist, and he spoke the word of God to his hearers in the wilderness. Make way. Make a way for him that's coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent. Turn from your ways and make way for the Messiah to come. There's one coming after me who's going to speak to you. But you got to prepare your heart to hear him. John would be the last of the old covenant prophets, and he would point to the one who spoke like no man ever spoke. John's life was a transition from hearing the living word through the prophets to hearing the voice of the Son of God. To hearing God's voice through the Son. All the prophets had ministries that ceased or ended when they died. But the Son has a never-ending life that continually speaks. When John heard Jesus' voice, remember what he said? We talked about this last week. When his ministry was shrinking and everybody was going over to Jesus, he said, I'm just the friend of the bridegroom. And when I hear the voice of the bridegroom calling the bride, my joy is fulfilled. My joy is to hear his voice. Is your joy to hear his voice, or do you believe that he even speaks today? John said, my joy is fulfilled. My ministry can decrease because I've done what I'm supposed to do. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. The writer of Hebrews says that God spoke to us in the past through the prophets. A man of God, a woman of God would hear the Spirit of God would fall on them, and they would hear the voice of God, and then they would say what God said. That was the ministry of the prophets. Even King David was a prophet. But the prophets were few. There weren't that many. But it says in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. There's been a change in how God speaks. He used to speak through the prophets, through here, a few here and a few there. Now he speaks by his Son who lives forever. Who is the us that he's spoken to? And it says now he's spoken to us by his Son. Who is the us? It's to all the children of God by faith in Jesus. We can all hear the voice of Jesus. Listen to Isaiah 54:13. It says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. All your children will be taught by the Lord. Not like the old covenant where only a few prophets and priests heard the Lord directly. No, grace opens the ears for all the children of God to hear the voice of the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? You could be saved 2 weeks, in fact, 2 hours, 2 minutes. And hear the voice of the Son of God. Have something to share with someone else to encourage them. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be 30 years in the Lord or be a pastor or a teacher or have some prophetic gift. If you're a child of God, you can hear the voice of God. In fact, you heard it to be saved. It says the hour is coming, Jesus said this, when the dead, speaking of the spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What does that mean? That means if you're in this house today and you're not born again yet, the Bible says you're still dead in your sins. But guess what? You're hearing the voice of the Son of God through me, just a simple vessel, preaching to you the gospel. You're hearing the voice of the Son of God. And if you hear it and respond to it, you're going to come to life. You're going to receive new life in Christ. You're going to be born again. And now you can hear the voice of the Son of God all the time. You can be led by him. So friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, he's calling to you. Do you hear him? Will you respond? He gives you the ability, even in your deadness, to respond in faith to his voice. Don't turn away from it. And friend, if you're here and you've been saved for just a few weeks or a short period of time, don't despise your youngness. Don't despise the fact that you don't know much of the Bible. No, God can speak to you. Even now, he can speak to you. And you can speak something to the body of Christ. You can share something that's encouraging. And it can encourage people that are 50 years in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The body of Christ ministering to each other as we hear the Lord. Praise God. John 3:3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you can't see or perceive the kingdom of God." Right? You can't really, your ears are not open, your eyes are not open until you're born again. And so I encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, say yes to him. Respond to that voice like Lazarus did. He was dead in his tomb and he heard Jesus say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came to life. Jesus, the voice of Jesus is calling for a last day's harvest of souls, and he's calling people by name and he's saying, "Come forth. I've got a new life for you. I've got eternal life for you. Come forth into my kingdom. Come forth out of the grave of your sin." Praise God. The primary way God speaks to us is through opening the scriptures to us. It talks about hearing the voice of his word in the Psalms. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for they testify of me, but you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Search the scriptures. He's in the scriptures. He also leads us with personal direction by his voice. Luke 24:32, when the two men were walking on the road to Emmaus and they were walking with Jesus, and they finally at the end they realized it was Jesus when he broke the bread, and they saw, "Oh, it's him." And they said to each other, "Didn't our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" See, that's the primary way God's going to speak to you. It's through the voice of his word. So when you open the Bible, expect Jesus to speak to you. Yes. Look for him. Say, "Lord, open your word to me." And guess what? He can make the word of God a joy to you. So it's not this drudgery. It's not this, "Oh, I've got to read my Bible. Okay, here's 10 minutes. He can make it so thrilling like it was for these men. He said, our hearts burned in us as he opened the scriptures. That's how my heart is. Almost every morning I open the word. I'm like, "Oh no, I got to go to work. I got to start my business. I got to answer emails and take some calls and go out in the field. But you know where I want to be? I want to be in his word, because he's made it alive to me. Because he's speaking from the word." Remember what the Father said on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:5. When Moses was there, Elijah was there, and Peter said, "Lord, let us make three tabernacles, three tents. It's good that we're here." And all of a sudden the cloud overshadowed them, and the voice of God from heaven, the voice from the Shekinah glory, spoke. And what did God say? "This is my beloved Son." Wasn't pointing to Moses or Elijah, it's pointing to Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Hear him. That's the new covenant. The old covenant was following the law written on tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. But the new covenant is hear him. Elijah and Moses, when the disciples looked up, it says they saw no one but Jesus. They disappeared. They were gone. And the Father's last word was, "Hear him. Hear him." That's the new covenant. It's to walk with Jesus and to hear his voice. It's to listen to him. It's as Mary said when they ran out of wine. "Whatever he says," she said to the servants who said, "We don't have any more wine left for the marriage. Whatever he says to you, do it." That's the voice of the Holy Spirit today. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. He's going to speak. He's going to speak. Praise God. This morning, I want to talk about five obstacles to hearing the voice of the Lord and to ending the silence of God. I may only get through three, and if I only get through three, then we'll pick this up next week. The first obstacle to hearing the voice of the Lord is unbelief. Unbelief. There are many Christians who have never heard the voice of Christ in their heart in any recognizable way, and they've settled into a place of unbelief and non-expectation. They don't even expect God to speak. In fact, they listen to some preachers who says God doesn't speak today except from the Bible, and if you hear anything that's not just directly from the Bible, then you should be very afraid. They put fear into the people's hearts when the Father said, hear him. He said, listen to my son. What did Jesus say? John 16, 12. He said, I still have many things to say to you. This is to his disciples. This is the night he was betrayed. He wasn't going to have time to say these many things to his disciples before his crucifixion. He's talking about after. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. In other words, he's saying, you're not ready to hear and receive what I want to tell you yet. You're not mature enough. But after my suffering and ascension, I have more to tell you. Do you understand that? I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, that he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will speak about your future and what's coming in the kingdom. And Jesus, he said, unless I go, I can't. It's better for you that I go. Why? Because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you my words. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He's going to speak the things that I want to tell you. He's going to speak to you. And he's going to reveal me. And he's going to tell you things to come. He's going to guide you. Verse 14, it says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit poured out at Pentecost will take Jesus' words and declare them to us. Praise God. Listen, you don't have to be afraid of the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth will never contradict the Word of God. When someone tells me God showed them something, God told them something, praise God. What did he show you? I want to know. And I test it by the Word of God, just as I test everything that I hear in my spirit. With the Word of God. The Spirit of truth will never contradict the sword of the Spirit, the Word of truth. He will never. God's not divided. Do you understand that? So we test all things by the Scriptures. Isaiah 8 says, if they don't speak according to this Word, it's because there's no light in them. Now, I'm not talking, when I talk about Jesus speaking to us, about getting new revelation or new truth or another book of the Bible, a third Peter or something. No, that's where cults start. That's where cults form. The canon is complete. The Scripture is complete. We're not looking for new revelation that way. But Jesus speaking to us from his Word, revealing who he is primarily, and also speaking to us in our lives, guiding us in our daily lives. You understand that? Speaking to you, hey, you see that girl over there? You see that person over there? She's really hurting. Pray for her. You can't, that's not in Ezekiel, brother. It's not in the passages. That's the Holy Spirit showing you to do something. Do you understand that? The Spirit poured out at Pentecost will take Jesus' words and declare them to us. Listen, we need to repent of unbelief. Do you know what you do with unbelief? You don't reason with it. You repent of it. And then you ask Jesus for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit so you can hear him. Proverbs 1:23, here's a great promise. Turn at my rebuke or my reproof when I correct you. And what? Surely I will pour out my Spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. That's what the Spirit of God does. He makes the words of God known to us. Praise God. So the first obstacle to remove is unbelief. And friends, it's rampant in the church. But I thank God that his Spirit is able to overcome that if we'll cooperate with him. There's no problem that you have in hearing God that God can't overcome. He just needs our cooperation. He needs us to agree with him. So secondly, the second obstacle is carelessness or lack of diligence. The voice of the Lord is among the most precious treasures that man can obtain. An unwillingness to seek and pursue hearing the Lord shows that we put a very low value on hearing him. He speaks to those who treasure his word. He rewards those who, what? Diligently seek him. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Guess what? Mining the treasures of the word of God, you're mining treasure, and mining treasure takes work. It takes effort, but it's an effort of faith. It's not an effort of the flesh. It's an effort saying, "God, I know that you're inviting me to your table to hear from you, to feast on you. And I'm going to come by faith and believe that you're going to speak to me." The Lord will open the ears of those who consistently pursue his voice. They will hear him, and they will have a word in season to refresh others. Guess what, guys? God, he does. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to wash you of your past shame. He wants to bring you into his covenant promises. I can't in this message tell you all the blessings of following Jesus. But my friend, it's not just about you. Maturing in Christ is understanding it's about the glory of God. God wants to strengthen you and build you up so you can bless others, so you can strengthen others, so that your walk is not just about you. It's about serving other people in the power of the Spirit. It's about finding the heart of God, which is about laying down our lives to fulfill his purposes. The purposes of God are not just about us being blessed and filled and strengthened. That's part of it. It's a big part of it. Now preach that. But it's about us getting the heart and mind of Christ, which is outward. It's about others. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 50, verse 4. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." How did Isaiah get this tongue of the learned? How did he get this tongue full of wisdom to speak a word to someone who is going through something and is weary, to strengthen them? How did he get this tongue? "He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." Isaiah is saying, the Lord has met me in the morning, morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Well, guess what? Isaiah had to get himself up out of bed. Holy Spirit didn't just sit there and shake him. "Come on, Isaiah, wake up, wake up, wake up. I got to talk to you." And maybe he did shake him a little bit, but he's not going to just keep shaking you. You have to have the heart and the discipline to say, "I got to get my butt out of bed and seek the Lord." Listen, we have some friends here from Summit, three, including my daughter. Wonderful to have you guys. You know, it's sad, and you know this, it's sad because the stories come back after years after people graduate, and it's sad to hear stories about kids that went to Summit Bible School for 2 years and were so on fire, and were following the Lord, loving the Lord, growing in the Lord, growing in the Word, and they leave Summit, and they completely fall away. Isn't this true? Is this true? I know it is true because I've heard this testimonies of people before you guys have been at Summit when it was Mount Zion School of Ministry. Do you want to know why I think that? What I think the number one reason is? The number one reason that students go to the school and they get on fire for God and they get built up in God, and then when they leave, they fall away. You know why? Because Summit is somewhat of a bubble. Any Bible college is a bubble. You're surrounded by other people who love God, who are on fire for God, who have the same like-mindedness. You're surrounded by great Bible teachers. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But if these students don't develop the habit of going to Christ themselves and feeding on him, and learning to draw from him daily so they have their own life, so that when they leave the school, they go into the workaday world and they have temptation and they have struggle, they are finding the voice of God still speaking to them even when they're not at the school. Do you understand that? But if they don't develop that, You go out into the world, and guess what? The attrition of life and the difficulties of the temptations and all the pressures, they wear you down. You need to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will hear it when you seek him. You will find him. It says, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. So that second obstacle was carelessness or lack of diligence. And the thing we need is diligence. The thing we need is to seek God. Number three, the third hindrance to hearing the voice of the Lord is disobedience. God does not speak to us so we can say, God told me, I heard God, it was so cool. He speaks to us primarily to guide us into obedience so he can speak more to us. Yes, he encourages and strengthens us with his word, but when he speaks, he expects something. He expects a positive response. He expects obedience. Listen to this passage in Ezekiel 33. Verse 30, it says, as for you, son of man, this is God speaking to Ezekiel the prophet. He says, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, come, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Ezekiel, they're excited about you. They think that you're a great preacher. And they're talking about you, and they're telling their friends, and they're saying, come and hear the word of the Lord. Verse 31, so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart pursues their own gain. In other words, their own plan, their own life goals. Indeed, verse 32, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. We must beware of becoming sermon lovers who do not put into practice what we hear, because that will lead to the silence of God. Do you understand? God wants you to take what you hear and not just say, hey, pastor, good sermon. But take what you heard, bring it to the Lord in prayer and say, God, do this in me. That's why we have altars here. That's why we have an altar here after the service for you to come and let the word of God permeate you, do business with God in prayer and say, God, make this real in my life. I'm convicted. I just don't want to leave here and say, oh, that was good. I was convicted. Oh, that was good. I was encouraged. Oh, that was good. I was challenged. No, I want to do what you've said. I want to respond to what you've said. I don't want to be like those people in Ezekiel's day that loved a good message. It's like a good song to them. And they left it there in the pew. They left it there in the seat. John 2:5, I'm going to pass on that. John 15:14. It says, no longer do I call you, you are my friends, if you do what? Whatever I command you. You're my friends. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. A servant doesn't know the inner workings of the master. He just does all that stuff. But a friend is brought into the inner council. And Jesus said, you are my friends. I'm bringing you in to share with you my heart. I'm bringing you in to share with you the Father's heart, because you do what I ask you to. And this is in the context of Jesus talking about loving one another, about this kingdom not just being about you, but about it being outward, about you forgiving those that offend you, about you pursuing your brother and sister, about you praying not just for your needs, but for their needs. Genesis 28, I want to talk briefly about this experience that Jacob had. We're going to pick this up right where Jacob had tricked his brother. He had tricked his father into getting the blessing. Remember what he did? He put on the goat skins on his arms, went to his dad, brought him the stew. And he's like, is this really you, Esau? And he's like, yeah, dad, it's me. And he tricked his father and he stole the blessing. He had already got the birthright from his brother, who didn't really care that much about the things of God. See, he's a good example of the person that's just like, well, I just go through the motions. You want the birthright? Oh, here's the birthright. Give me some stew. But Esau wanted the blessing, and it was meant to go to Jacob, and it would go to Jacob, but Jacob contrived his own method, his own way with his mother, and you know the story. He deceived his father. He got the blessing, and then guess what happened? Esau heard about it, came in later. He's like, here, Dad, here's my food. And he's like, I'm stuffed. Who is this? And here's this, the real Esau coming in saying, what? Dad, you're kidding me. You gave my blessing to Jacob? Yes, son, I gave it to him, and he's going to have it. And Esau went out of there. And you know what it says? It says he comforted himself with the thought of killing his brother. Do you know that's what we do when we refuse to forgive people as a child of God? We're comforting our wound. We're consoling our wound. We may not be planning murder like Esau was, but we're comforting our wound. No wonder it can't heal. Right? God hasn't called us to comfort our wound, comfort our hurt. He's called us to bring it to him and to find grace through him to forgive those like he forgave when he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So Esau's plotting to kill his brother, and the parents see this, and they don't want Jacob to take a wife from the Canaanite women, and so they say, we're sending you off. We're commanding you to go to Paddan Aram, to your mother's brother's house, and find a wife from there. And Jacob obeys the voice of his parents. Now, I want to tell you this, kids, or people, everyone, God has called us to submit to authority. Children to parents, wives to husbands. There's church authority. There's church authority as well. If you want to hear God's voice further, obey the spiritual authority God's put over you. Jacob hadn't heard God's voice yet, personally. He heard his dad tell him the stories about Abraham, his grandfather. He heard his dad speak the word of God to him, but he hadn't heard it personally. But he obeyed God. Esau noted it. He obeyed his parents, and he obeyed God by obeying his parents. And then he went out on this journey, and it says he came to a place, and he was tired. It was the end of the day. It was dark. And it says that he found a rock, and he made it into a pillow. Now, I don't know why in the world you'd ever take a rock to be your pillow. Does not sound like a comfortable situation. But he took a rock, and he made it his pillow. And it says in verse 12 of Genesis 28, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This last part that he said is the prophetic word that God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus is that seed that would be blessing all the families of the earth, including the Gentiles. He said, behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And you know, it goes on to say that he named that place Bethel, or house of God. So Jacob comes to this place. He's running from his brother. He's going into a land. He doesn't know where he's going. He's needing direction, and he's just obeying the voice of his parents. And it says that he places a rock for his pillow. And when he puts his head on the rock, he sees in a vision, he sees in a dream, angels of God, messengers. What do messengers do? They bring messages, going up and down on this ladder. And then God speaks to him personally for the first time. If you're a young person and you've been raised in the church, you need to hear God personally to follow Christ. You need to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you so it's real in your own life. It's great to follow. It's great to believe. It's great to obey what your parents tell you. But you need to ask God, God, let me hear your voice. Make this real to me. It became personal for Jacob here. He laid his head on the rock. He had many fears and anxious thoughts about his future, but when he rested his weary head on the rock, and what does that rock represent? Christ. Christ. Just as the rock that was struck and brought forth water represented Christ, this rock represents Christ. Jacob put his head on the rock, and God spoke to him about his plan for Jacob's life. God spoke to him about the land of Israel, future offspring, and a nation that would be born. And God spoke to him about the unspeakable blessing of the seed of Jesus Christ, blessing the whole world. And when he woke up, he said, God is in this place, and I didn't even know it. I wonder how many of us, if we could see in the spirit, that venue, that avenue, that Jacob's ladder of God wanting to speak to us, if we would be aware of it, if we'd be aware of what God wants to speak to us, if we would be pushing back, speaking prayers to God, talking back to God. See, he saw messengers going up and down. God was speaking to him. He wasn't even aware of it till he laid his head on the rock. Listen, how many of you are hearing the voice of God? Or is it like empty space? Is it like something that's there, but you don't know what's there? God wants to speak to us. Listen, friend. Rest your weary head on Jesus. He is the rock of ages. He is the cornerstone. Rest your head upon him. He will speak to you. He will give you direction. And his promise to Jacob was, I will be with you. Jacob, you got a long journey ahead. Jacob had no idea all that would befall him, all the ways God would change him into a different man as he followed the voice of the Lord, change him from a deceiver into a man that could shepherd young children and young goats and sheep, how he could go to his brother and humble himself and call him master and seek reconciliation to a brother that wanted to kill him 20 years earlier. Jacob had no idea. He had no idea, but it all started with hearing God's voice. It all started with putting his head on that stone. And he took that stone after his dream and he set it up as a pillar and he poured oil on it. And he said, this will be the cornerstone of the house of God. The cornerstone of your walk with God is hearing his voice. If you don't hear him, my friend, you will dry out. You'll dry out. You need to hear him. He made you for relationship. And relationship is speaking. It's communicating. God's journey for every Christian begins with hearing his voice. And the middle is hearing his voice. And the end is hearing his voice. Jesus has a plan to make every one of us fruitful. If you're born again, the seed of Christ is in you. And God's plan for that seed is for it to multiply, not just stay within you. It's to multiply. God wants to speak to you today. He wants to bring you not just into an experience of a day, but into a pattern of hearing his voice again. Putting away unbelief, putting away the lack of seeking him, putting away the hindrances that stand in the way. Praise God. He's called us to hear and to obey. If he's spoken and we don't obey, silence is coming eventually. God isn't going to waste his words. He's not going to waste his time. He's going to go back and say, well, I'll wait till you come back to hearing and doing what I asked you to do. So I want to ask you this morning, if you want to come to this altar and pray, come and pray. If you want to pray where you're at, pray where you're at. But I want to ask you to do an honest inventory of your own life. Is the Christian life just about a text that you read and it's impersonal? Or are you hearing the voice of the Son of God? He wants to make his word alive. He wants to guide you. He wants to speak to you. So I invite you today, let's pray. Let's ask God to open our ears and to enable us to hear his sweet voice.